The Babes in the Wood by Ruth Rendell. Read by Nigel Anthony. The King's Brook was not usually visible from his window. Not its course, nor its twisty meanders, nor the willows, which made a double fringe along its banks. But he could see it now. Or rather, see what it had become, a river as wide as the Thames, but flat and still, a broad lake that filled its own valley, submerging its water meadows in a smooth silver sheet. Of the few houses that stood in that valley, along a lane which had disappeared, leading from a bridge which had disappeared, only their roofs and upper stories showed above the waters. He thought of his own house, on the other side of that gently rising lake, as yet clear of the floods, only the end of his garden lapped by an encroaching tide. It was raining. But, as he had remarked to Burden some 4 hours before, rain was no longer news. It was tedious to remark on it. The exciting thing worthy of comment was when it wasn't raining. He picked up the phone and called his wife. "Much the same as when you went out," she said. "The end of the garden's under water, but it hasn't reached the mulberry tree. I don't think it's moved. That's what I'm measuring by, the mulberry tree."
"Good thing we don't breed silkworms," said Wexford,
leaving his wife to decipher this cryptic remark.
There hadn't been anything like it in this part of Sussex in living memory. Not at least in his memory. In spite of a double wall of sandbags, the Kingsbrook had inundated the road at the High Street Bridge, flooded the Job Centre and Sainsbury's, but miraculously so far, spared the Olive and Dove Hotel. It was a hilly place, so most of the dwellings on higher ground had escaped. Not so the High Street, Glebe Road, Queen and York Streets, with their ancient shop fronts and overhanging eaves. Here the water lay a foot, 2 feet in places, 3 feet deep. In St. Peter's Churchyard, the tops of tombstones pierced a grey, rain-punctured lake like rocks, showing above the surface of the sea. And still it rained.